Well, to say that I am delighted on behalf of disabled people who are going to be directly affected by this is an understatement. I am thrilled that the level of activism that took place here in Clare through the Clare Leader Forum, being supported by PPN and indeed yourselves in Clare FM, and can I say the Clare Champion, to highlight what was in the proposal that would have seriously impacted the dignity rights of disabled people in the name of reform. And again, to have our, that when we held a public consultation on it, the room was jammers with concerned people. But moreover, people weren't just rejecting the green paper, but really brought about strong proposals on what is required. And I think that's what needs to come out of the decision. It's not just scrapping the green paper, which was a national collective for which the Clare Leader Forum was part of, which included Disability Power Ireland, NeuroPride Ireland, Disabled Women Ireland. We came together at a national level to challenge the content of the green paper. But what is important now for this government is to put substantial support that genuinely supports disabled people who need to and want to go to work, to ensure that the structural supports are there, personal assistance support services, transport, aids and appliances, to reform the funding that actually goes directly to employers. Rather than supporting disabled people to have the resources to go to work, to ensure that instead of people spending 20 years in day services, that they're getting the skills and qualifications to be able to go to work, that the cost of disability, which is stopping people from being even able to think about getting off a disability allowance, is a non-means tested resource that should be given to disabled people. The government's own economic analysis just produced in 2021, and the other big one is to separate the medical card or a similar system that allows disabled people who often have, whether it's equipment or medical support needs, to have that treated separately so that people aren't trapped in poverty and can go out to work like everybody else. As I said at the very beginning of this campaign, the Central Statistics Office only show that 20% of all disabled people of working age, say for whether it's through illness or significant impairment, cannot go to work. That means out of the 70% of unemployed people, that 80% of those people can go to work. That's an important statistic, that we go from the bottom of the rung of Europe with the highest unemployed people into supporting people to go to work and to have the services. So it's a great day, Dara.
Emery, and just to give some, I suppose, clarity to our listeners who might be hearing this and struggling to remember what exactly the Green Paper was proposing. Essentially, it was a three-tier system where those on tier one who would have been deemed to have the highest support needs would have received the state pension of $265.30 per week. And then there was tier two and tier three, and it was $242 and $220 from there. I remember one of the key criticisms at the time, and this was delivered from Martin Tobin, Newmarket resident and member of the Clare Leader Forum, was he felt at the time that, look, everybody does have, as you mentioned there, a different capacity to work, but that the concentration was very much on the financial support for people. Not that he stated it was enough, but that there was no structure there to help people actually get into the workplace. Is that something you'd like to see change now?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. So, yeah, so one of the biggest problems with the Green Paper, as you said, Dara, was the three-tier system. And again, I suppose for people who mightn't understand, so if somebody has a disability or an impairment, whether that's physical impairment, might be psychosocial, emotional, it's mental health issues to some people, maybe an intellectual impairment or whatever it is, people have different skills and capacities within that range. And so the example that I was given, you could have somebody who has a PhD, but due to maybe their physical impairment, have maybe quadriplegia, as an example. So therefore, they need physical support with every task, but they have the capacity to take on a senior management role. So that person under this regime would have been deemed incapacitated to work because it was using a medical model approach. So rather than looking at what support needs an individual needs to live their lives, including work, it was looking at the impairment of the person and saying, okay, we'll put you on this higher rate, which wasn't guaranteed, Dara. Then you had the other two rates. And also you have people with hidden impairments. So you have people who are autistic, who to an untrained person, and we don't know who these assessors were going to be, would be telling a person, you should be able to go out to work straight away, when in actual fact, the environment that they need to be able to go to work would not have been attended to within that assessment range. So really, it was such a dangerous model. And can I say that the UK introduced the PIP, which is also the type of payment that they were bringing in here. And so just to let people know that we weren't just reacting for the sake of it. As we speak, the UK, and this was modelled on it, is before the United Nations human rights on the human rights of disabled people, because there is evidence that since this was brought in the UK, that 60 people have died by suicide because the poverty, the being able to prove one's impairment and being able to have the sports to do so. So really, we were coming from a place of evidence from our next door neighbours who had applied this regime.
It does look like the similar system that was to be introduced in the UK is for the bin now as well. The government has taken this step to scrap it, Anne-Marie, and I think what's worth mentioning is that it actually applies to a lot of people. While there are varying degrees, one-fifth of Clare's population identifies as having some sort of disability. It does affect a lot of people. What exactly will you be looking for? We've a new Taoiseach even now as well. What commitment will you be looking from them towards, I suppose, supporting people with disabilities, getting back to work, and where needs be, their needs payments? What commitment do you want now before this government's term is out?
So, you know, the Taoiseach, our new Taoiseach, made a promise to actually oversee a cabinet committee to really look at the issues impacting disabled people. And we are asking the Taoiseach to really look at the ableist processes that are used to look at how we respond to disabled people. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when policy is being developed and decisions are being made around disabled people, it's done through the lens of what people cannot do, and done through the lens of disabled people being less than, different, and not having the same value as non-disabled people. So what we want is a system that supports people to go to work, that supports people to live one's best life. So if we have a situation now where the state is only funding, for example, personal assistance services on such a low funded basis without the right to personal assistance, where in actual fact, in most instances, people are only getting, it's an average of 45 minutes a day. How in the name of all that is practical can a person actually plan their life to go to work, to apply for jobs, to know that they have the support to be able to go for an interview, to be able to get to that interview? Because we live in a rurally, like Clare alone is very rural based, so people who don't have access to transport need to be able to get to work. So for example, the state removed the mobility allowance back in 2013, and it has never been reinstated. And that was only, I think it was a couple of hundred euro a month for people who are the most disadvantaged and who would never be able to drive. So we really need to look at a human rights-based approach to supporting disabled people, but also to believe that disabled people can and want to participate in society on an equal basis with others, not this spending billions, putting people into segregated settings, whether it's where people live, where people spend their days, and trapping people in their homes. The state is spending like nearly 5 billion. That money needs to be reorganized to empower people to get out and live their best life and to go to work. And instead of funding institutions, they need to ensure that people have their own homes, the same as anybody else, and personal assistance and transport and an income that allows people dignity and respect. And I and many others are prime examples of when you provide the supports and services, it allows us to be able to participate. That should be afforded to everybody on a rights-based approach.